want to welcome you all to Blount Springs. I want to invite you to worship with us this morning. We're going to praise the name of our Savior this morning. Amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. This morning. Who brings
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. He's worthy of every breath we could ever live for you. Live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. He's worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Open up my eyes in one.
Come on, let's give God all the glory this morning. See your firm foundation today. Praise his name this morning.
Thank you. Thou was made for more.
Hallelujah, come on. Let's praise the name of the Lord this morning.
So, we went over influence while we were at the beach, which is a huge part of everybody's life in here, is what are you being influenced? And I want to talk to you about how you're being influenced, what you're being influenced by, how you're being influenced, and how God wants you to influence for Him, to use you to influence for the kingdom, because we're being shaped every single day. You know, at my house, I see it. I see it when we watch a Marvel movie or a Star Wars movie, and me and Wyatt love those movies. We're sitting there, we're all in it, we're all about it, and we're locked into the TV. And when that movie goes off, when that show goes off, it's shortly after that Wyatt comes running out of his room. He's fully dressed like Iron Man, flying around, or Spider-Man, or he's waving a lightsaber around, and I'm ducking out of the way, trying to save my face, save from being poked in the eye or something like that. So influence works like that. Influence works in our lives like that, to where we see something and we let it shape us. How we act, how we talk, how we think. It's not just true for a kid watching a movie and wanting to be that superhero. It's true for all of us all the time, and we're consistently being influenced by what we watch, by what we listen to, by what we scroll on our phones on, who we spend time with, what we laugh at. It's all pushing us in a direction. So our scripture today was Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, I present to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we're seeing Paul describe two different things right here. Being conformed to the world and being transformed by God. Being conformed to the world and being transformed by God. And I want to tell you today that you can't be conformed while you're being transformed. Those can't be happening at the same time. So let me explain that with just a short illustration. When we get out of here today, you get in your car. I'm going to get in the car with you. I'm going to be sitting next to you. And we're going to your house to eat. And so we get on the road and we start heading that way. And you keep hitting the brakes and stopping in the middle of the street. You go a little further and then you stop again. You hit the brakes. I'm looking at you going, what are you doing? Why do you keep hitting the brakes? We're never going to get to your house to eat dinner, which was the goal, if you keep hitting the brakes. Same thing with being conformed by the world versus transformed by God, is if we keep stopping and looking at the world and letting the world influence us on these things, then we're going the opposite direction than God's in. We've got to stop letting the world show us the way to let it mold us and form us, and we've got to get back to focusing on Jesus, to focusing on God, so that He can lead our life, so that He can influence us, and so that He can have an impact, and we can go out and change the world. Because that's what we're called to do, is to go out and make disciples. And how can we do that if we're living like the world is? So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So today we're talking about what is influencing me. We're talking about how am I being an influence, and we're talking about how God wants to use me to influence. So the first question there is, what is influencing me? What is influencing me in my life? First, I think we need to talk about the definition of influence, because it's interesting. The definition of influence is the power to change or affect someone or something. The power to cause changes without directly forcing them to happen. So power is what caught my attention first. Influence has power over us. And we've got to be so careful about what kind of influences are in our life because we're letting that power rule our lives. And I got to tell you, I don't want the world ruling my life because it doesn't lead anywhere good. So we start with this simple question: what is influencing me? Every voice, every song, every app, every friend, every habit is discipling you towards something. They're teaching you what to love, what to laugh at, what to chase, what to ignore, what to accept. And we've got to be so careful to watch over our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows a spring of life." So the heart is like this control center of your life, your thoughts, your desires, your emotions, your decisions. And this scripture says, watch over it, to be diligent, to guard it, protect it. Why? Because everything flows from there. If your heart is being influenced, your life will be influenced. And this world's not passive about it. It's pushing you in a direction. It's actively trying to shape you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word conform carries the idea of being pressed into a pattern, like clay pushed into a mold. So we used to do ceramics when I was a kid. Does anybody remember the old ceramics that you would mix the slip up and pour it into the big square that had the giant rubber bands over it? Anybody ever do that? Okay, we got one. We got another one. Going once, going twice. So my grandmother would paint these things up and sell them. That's how she made a living. And we had all the stuff at our house, this oven that was called a kiln. And all these different just blocks that were, you poured the slip into it, and it was all these molds, these pumpkins for Halloween, and we had Christmas trees with the little mouses on them for Christmas. I know some of y'all remember those. Well, my grandmother painted them and sold them. So we would make these things, we would mix the slip up, and we would pour them into these molds, and it would take shape of whatever we poured it into. And it would take a few times of filling that mold up, topping it off, letting it settle down in there. All the air comes out of it. We put a little more in it. We put a little more in it until it's completely full. And then we put it into this kiln, this oven, and you start to cook it. And it takes shape. It goes from a liquid to a solid. And you let it cool off and you break it open. And it's become whatever you've told it to be. So we have to look at the way the world is consistently trying to press us into those shapes, into those things of acceptance. Because if we're not careful, we'll start to harden our heart, callous our hearts towards these things of the world, and let them influence us and create habits in us that are tough to break. Because 1 Corinthians 15:33, it warns us about it. It says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Bad company corrupts good morals. You can't surround yourself with the world, with darkness, and expect to stay in the light. You can't come to church one day a week and then go back out into the world and live like the rest of the world and expect to have a love for God, have a need for God, have a urge to follow God. It doesn't work like that. Christianity is not a one day a week kind of thing. Philip preached on that not long ago about if you had an employee that worked 1 hour a week, you'd probably fire him. How can we as Christians expect to only give God an hour a week or 2 hours a week? And for us to be able to show light out in the world. That's not how that works. We're letting too much darkness in. We've got to surrender ourselves. All these voices that you surround yourself with, that's what's going to shape you the most. That's what's going to influence you the most. So when we ask, what's influencing me, we're really asking, what am I giving my attention to? What am I giving my time to? What am I allowing to speak to my heart? Because if the world is your loudest influence, then you're being conformed to the world. But if God's Word, God's Spirit is your loudest influence, then you're being transformed by the Spirit. That's what we've got to figure out today. What is transforming my life? Is it the world? Am I being conformed to it? Or am I being transformed by God? Next thing I want to look at is how am I being influenced? How am I being influenced? A little deeper of a question. What all input is actually going inside of me? What am I letting shape my life? How is it doing it? What is it doing to me? Because influence doesn't just touch the surface. It's not just a, oh yeah, I'm around that all the time, it doesn't have any effect on me. No, it shapes your heart, it shapes your vision, and it shapes your future. And we've got to be so careful as Christians not to let this world have too much influence on our life, because we start to act it out. We start to let it take over. And we push God aside. In the proverb we just read, Proverbs 4:23, it tells us to watch over our heart. Because your heart is this garden. Whatever you plant in that garden, whatever you water in that garden, is going to grow. If you regularly plant song lyrics that celebrate sin, guess what's going to grow in your life? If you watch shows that normalize sexual immorality, posts that glorify disrespect and selfishness, those seeds will grow. It's a simple concept. So over time, things that once felt wrong, things that you were convicted about, you start to normalize. Those things start to become okay with you. They don't bother you anymore. They don't feel like they're pushing you away from God anymore. They just become another day. But Psalms 1:1, it describes this drift that we see. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of wicked, stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. So I want you to see when we settle into sin, here's this process that it takes. First, we're walking. We're moving. We have a chance to move past it, but we don't take it. So now we're standing. It's all around us. It's surrounding us. Starting to feel a little more normal. Then we sit down with everything else around us, and we settle into it. And we let it start to consume our lives. So first you walk, first you walk, then you stand, then you sit. So this influence starts to shape your heart. And once your heart changes, your vision starts to be corrupted. Your vision begins to change. Because influence not only shapes your heart, but it shapes your vision. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of life. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. What you look at doesn't just stay in your eyes, it moves to your heart, and it begins to affect how you see everything, how you interpret everything in your life. It's like wearing a pair of glasses. Everybody's had sunglasses on at one time or another. If your lenses are clean, you can see clearly. If they've got smudges and dirt, then they start to be distorted. So this influence is the lens over your life, how you interpret things, how you start to see things, how you feel about certain things. And if your main input is negative social media, negative music, negative entertainment, negative movies, then you begin to see yourself through this lens of comparison. I've got to keep up with them. I've got to look like this. I've got to do this. You start to see stuff through a lens of comparison, through insecurity, through pride. You start to see your relationships through this lens of selfishness, of immorality. You see success through a lens of money, fame, followers. And then sin starts to seem not so bad. That's what we've got to be careful of, church. It's not that bad. Everybody's doing it. Well, they go to church and I see them doing it, so it must be okay. We've got to keep our main input towards God's word, towards prayer, through fasting. Godly community. His Spirit. His Spirit is the one that clears your vision. You begin to see truth as truth, sin as dangerous, people as valuable, and your life as purposeful for the kingdom so that you can witness God's glory. We witnessed God's glory this morning. Seeing the Spirit moving here and people coming down in repentance to get right with Jesus. That doesn't happen out in the world. Because if the world shapes your heart and it shapes your vision, then it's going to end up shaping your future. Young people, this is the most important thing, is where do you want to be in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years? You've got to think about that now, because all these things that you're accepting into your life, all these things that you're making habits of, right now are going to affect that future that you have. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So right now, even though you don't realize it, even though you don't think about it, you're sowing seeds every day. These things influencing you have power over you, over your decisions, over your choices. If the world's influence is shaping you, if you're allowing the world to shape you, that path leads to broken relationships, addiction, regret, shame, emptiness, and distance from God. You're furthering yourself from the Father. It promises this freedom, but it leads to bondage. These chains that surround you, that as the deeper you go, get harder and harder to break away from. Think about the prodigal son. He chased what looked like freedom, what he thought he wanted, but he ends up being empty, eating with pigs, far from home, far from the Father. Is that where you want to be? But then we look at the other side of that. If our path is filled with God's influence, if God's influence is shaping you, it leads to purity, to purpose, to clarity, a life that matters now and in eternity. So I want you to ask, how am I being influenced? What's happening to my heart? What's happening to my vision? Where is my future going because of what I'm allowing into my life? What I'm allowing into my life. The way you're being influenced now is revealing whether you're moving toward conformity to the world or transformation by God. Last thing I want to tell you is how God wants to use you to influence the world. This is the beautiful part about it. God doesn't just want to rescue you from the world's influence. He wants to send you back into the world as His influence. He wants to use you to go preach His word, to go make disciples, Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So Jesus doesn't say you might be salt someday. You'll be light one day. He says you are the salt of the earth. As believers, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And this salt that he's talking about, it's precious. It's expensive. It slows decay. It adds flavor. And it slows the decay of a morally decaying world. So I want you to know that God's placed you right where you're at for a reason. If you're a believer today, God has placed you where you're at for a reason. To go be the salt of the earth, to go be the light of the world, to refuse to join in on this gossip, the dirty jokes, the cheating, the compromise. You're the salt. You're the light. We've got to go proclaim the name of Jesus. What's crazy about light versus darkness is we could turn every light off in here, cover every window, cover every little thing that has light in it, and one person can turn their flashlight on, and now everybody can see again. One light in darkness is going to show the way. Did you know your eye will not work if it doesn't have any light? If there's no light source, your eyes physically will not work. When we can't see in darkness, that's why, because the eye needs light. And we're called to go be that light so that the world can see what God's done for them. I hear you, Lord. Our verse for this past week on the beach trip was 1 Timothy 4:12. It said, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech conduct love, faith, and purity. Show yourselves an example of those who believe." And I wanted them to know that, and the world's trying to corrupt us left and right. Everywhere you point, everywhere you look, the world is trying to corrupt us as Christians to bend our rules and to be reshaped to be like them. We don't want to do that. And I wanted to encourage them, said, look, just because you're young doesn't mean that God doesn't want to use you. I can remember being their age and being like, man, I'm gonna be a good Christian when I get older. I'm gonna have fun right now. I'm gonna do what I want to right now. And then when I get older, I'm gonna do better. I'll straighten up. How stupid was I? I mean, come on. We're not promised tomorrow, people. I'm not over here. I was over here making deals with God, like, look, hey man, you let me get a little older, let me do all this bad stuff over here. I'm gonna get right with you. You can't bargain with God. Who did I think I was? We've got to be so careful about our lives now, about what's influencing us now, to go preach the word now. You're not too young to be used by God. You're not too old to be used by God. You're not too busy to be used by God. And we have pretty clear instructions. Show yourself an example . Are you being a good example? A better question is, are you influencing for the world, or are you influencing for God?